Well, throughout this week, we've been looking at the principle, which is a principle that's shared throughout the Bible. But it's a simple principle that words have power. And the things that we say, it does impact our lives. There's a life and death is in the tongue, as Proverbs says. The power of life and death is in the tongue. So again, the principle is simple. Everything that we say, there's power to. You can go back to the book of Genesis and see that, or recall that God created everything by speaking it forth. There is a creativity that comes from the spoken word. There's power in the spoken word. Everything God created, He spoke into existence. There's power in the spoken word. And for you and I today, the power of life and death is in the tongue. So we're either speaking words of life or we're speaking words of death. We're either speaking words that build up, that encourage, that strengthen, that line up with the word of God, or we're speaking words that tear down and destroy and are opposed to the word of God. There is no middle ground. You're either speaking words of life or words of death. That's the only two options that there are. And so it's good for us to remember, and it's exceptional for us to train ourselves to be thoughtful before we speak, to be cautious before we let words actually pass through our lips. We need to make sure that the words that we speak are words that line up with the Word of God and words that are not opposed to Him and opposed to His Word. Because if we speak words of life, the Holy Spirit can then move through those words to bring about the promises and those good things that are within those words. We speak the words that line up with the Word of God. Holy Spirit moves through those words. We speak words of life. He brings that life to pass. Conversely, if we speak words of death, words that are contrary to the Word of God, we allow the enemy, we empower the enemy by our spoken words to move through those words and bring those things to pass. So we've been looking at the book of Job as an example, and we saw Job is, again, just that story. You know, we know that Job was afflicted. We know that the affliction came from Satan. And then the majority of the book of Job, the vast majority, is just conversations. It is the conversations between Job's three friends and Job. And then, of course, at the end, we see God speaking himself to Job with the ultimate and final truth. But so much of Job is that conversation between Job's three friends and Job. And all of those words, and we see the power of the words, and we see the impact of the words. And we see that the motivation behind all the words of Job's friends are basically untrue. They're basically false. As Job says, they're basically foolishness and foolish words. And as you read through the words of Job's friends, you know, once in a while they will actually hit on something that does line up with the Word of God. But overall, what they're saying, their overall principle, is wrong. They're telling Job that Job has suffered all these afflictions because of his unrighteousness, because he is not in right standing with God. And what they're saying is all of these things have happened to you because of your sinfulness, and you need to get right with God. That's the reason that all this has been taken away from you. And Job stands and says, I am in right standing with God. I have done nothing. And then, of course, that just makes them angry, and they speak harsher and harsher words. And you can see as you go through the books of Job, you can see the words of his friends getting harsher and more critical and speaking more and more death. And you can see the responses of Job trying to justify and then even trying to speak against those words. That's a principle that's important for us to remember. When I speak words, there's power in those words. It's not just power in my life, but as I speak words over you or over someone else, again, I'm either speaking words of life or I'm speaking words of death. I'm either speaking words that build up and strengthen or I'm speaking words that will tear down and destroy. I need to be aware that there's power in my words and the things that I speak over you or over anybody. There's power in those words. So if you and I are friends or even just acquaintances and I get angry at you and you do something that I think is unjust or unright, and so I can say words to you just like Job's friends did that are hurtful, that are harmful, the words that are motivated by my own emotions or my own selfishness or my own anger at you. And so we tend to easily say things that are hurtful and harmful. And those words are not just hurtful and harmful, they're actually destructive because they are words. Words have power. And those are words that I speak those things, and I have literally put a yoke upon that person. So if you and I are friends and something happens and I get angry at you and I speak words that are harsh to you, or I speak words that are words not of life not building up and encouraging, but words that are of death, words that destroy and tear down. Those are words that have power in your life, and it impacts you. I've put a yoke upon you, a yoke which is a burden upon you. And it doesn't even have to be the words that I speak to you directly. It can be the words that I speak about you. Maybe I go tell my other friends, while you're not there, you know, my frustration, my anger, how unfair I think that you were. And I just express things. And the things that I speak about you, again, they're not words that are building up. They're words that are tearing down and destroying. Well, those words have power. And I've spoken those words over you. And I have put a yoke upon you. A yoke is a burden. It's something that you have to carry, and that can control. Yokes control the oxen. Yokes guide the oxen. The more that I speak those kinds of words of death over anyone else is a burden. It's a yoke upon them. And that person then has to break the yoke. I'm very cautious. You know, if I'm in a situation where I need somebody to pray for me, let's say that I have a physical situation, I'm very careful who I tell that to. Because I want people, if I tell people that I want them to pray for me for a physical thing, I'm only going to tell that to people that I know will pray the word of God and will speak the word of life and will say positive things, will say words that line up with the word of God and will say, by the stripes of Jesus, I know he's healed and I stand with him in faith and I speak that healing because I want people to speak words of life over me. I'm very careful because I have found out I don't want people, if I say, hey, pray for me because of this, I don't want them to pray and say or speak words as they're talking to someone else. Well, Todd told me he's dealing with this issue. You know, his father had that, and look what happened to his father. You know, we just speak things without thinking and not realizing there's power in those words. Well, those words are not helpful to me. As I'm standing in faith and believing for healing, those words are not helpful. Those are words, you put a yoke upon me that I have to break off that yoke. I got to speak against those words and break that off. Now, I can, and I will, but why would we want to make life more difficult for people who are standing and struggling? My point is, our words have power, and we need to be aware of the power of those words. And as we saw from throughout Job, you know, we've seen again and again and again in the book of Job, just how strong and how powerful those words are. Now, we were looking yesterday, and we kind of concluded in chapter 19. And chapter 19 of the book of Job gives us several insights that just show the importance of words and the words that are spoken. And the last thing we saw was in the very last verses of Job chapter 19. The last two verses say, if you say, how will you pursue him and continue to persecute me with the claim that root cause of all those afflictions is found in me, then beware and be afraid of the sword of divine vengeance, for wrathful are the punishments of the sword, that you may know that there is judgment. What Job is saying is, listen, you're accountable to your words. Your words that you have spoken foolishly over me, you're accountable to those words. And there will be ramifications. You need to be careful what you say. Because the sword of divine vengeance, you are speaking against God. As you speak these things that don't line up with God and you speak them over me, you're speaking against God, and there's ramifications. And we do see later in the book of Job that those ramifications do come to pass. Those are powerful words that Job is saying. He's warning his friends, you're speaking foolishly and you're speaking against God. Be careful of those words that you speak. Now, I want to conclude this whole thing this week by looking at chapter 27. Because in Job chapter 27, again, we get a really good insight. Job, once again, we learn the power of the spoken word. So in Job chapter 27, Job is so, there's a conviction that he has. Now, one of his friends has just finished, Bildad has just finished coming against them again and speaking very harsh words. And then in chapter 26, Job begins his answer, and it's very insightful, his answer. But then in Job 27, that chapter starts this way. It's still Job speaking in response to Bildad, his friend's false words. Job again took up his discourse and said, as God lives, who has taken away my right and denied me justice and the Almighty? Who has vexed and embittered my life? So Job's going through a lot of things, but he's saying, who has done all this? And who has taken away my right? And what he's speaking about here is who's taken away his right to believe in the goodness of God and to speak those things. Because in the next verse, verse 3, he says, as long as my life is still whole within me and the breath of God is yet in my nostrils, my lips shall speak. Here again is the importance of speaking. My lips shall not speak untruth, nor shall my tongue utter deceit. Now, when you read all this in context, you can see that Job is being very careful. He's saying, listen, as long as there is breath in my lips, I'm going to be cautious about the words that I speak. I'm going to monitor the words that come out of my mouth. And I'm going to be careful to make sure that the words that come out of my mouth are not words that are opposed to God and to God's word. Now, bear in mind, Job has lost everything. He's lost his children. He's lost his wealth. His wife is against him. He's lost everything. He's been afflicted in body, in his very soul, his mind, his emotions. Certainly physically, he's been broken. So much has happened to Job that when his three friends came, and they saw Job for the purpose of coming to comfort him, but when they saw Job, they were so utterly shocked at his visage, at what they saw of Job, so shocked that it says, even though they came to speak words of comfort and to console their friend, so shocked were they sat with Job for 7 days and did not utter a word. That's what Job has dealt with. Okay, as a footnote, it probably would have been good for his friends. Those 7 days when they didn't utter a word, that was probably the wisest 7 days that they had, because they didn't speak words that became foolish. Everything that came out of their mouths after that was foolishness, and it was opposed to God. Well, not everything, but 98% of the words that they speak are foolishness, and it's deceitful, and it's words that are bringing harm to Job, not comforting and not helping him. So Job has lost everything, and that's the stark nature of where he is at. And yet, even at that place, even with having lost everything, Job says, I am going to be cautious. I will make certain that I never utter words from these lips. Nothing. As long as there's breath within me, my lips shall not speak untruth, nor shall my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you, saying that you are right in your accusations against me. Until I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. And he goes on to speak about the uprightness and the right standing that he has with God. And I hold fast and will not let them go. He says, my uprightness and my right standing with God, I hold fast and I will not let go. My heart does not reproach me for any of my days, and it shall not reproach me as long as I live. This is amazing. See, because Job is careful with the words that he's speaking. He's cautious with his words. And he never, even though at this moment, Job doesn't understand why this is coming against him. He's not going to understand until later. He doesn't understand that this is not God. He doesn't really have much of an understanding of Satan at all. And he doesn't understand that this attack is coming from Satan. He doesn't understand any of that in the natural. But even though he thinks for some reason God has unleashed this against him, he will not utter words against God. He will not falsely accuse God. He will not speak anything that is opposed to God. He's careful and cautious with his words. That is the lesson that we can learn from Job. And because Job was cautious with his words. Now listen, I believe this with my whole heart. Because Job was cautious with his words, God honored that. And because Job was cautious with his words, he did not speak words that were contrary to the word of God. And in not speaking words, see, if he'd have spoken words that were contrary, and we see this is exactly what happens with Job's friends. If you look at the words that Job's friends, they went from not speaking at all, the highlight, that was their pinnacle when they didn't speak at all. Then when they did speak, you know, their words were accusing, but you can see and you can tell, you can hear in their words, it was motivated by their desire to help Job. They were false words, but the motivation was to help Job. But then the more words they spoke, because they spoke words that were in error and inaccurate, they deceived themselves. They spoke the words, and those spoken words actually deceived themselves. And they got deeper and deeper into foolishness and lies. And they spoke words that eventually came back upon themselves. Listen, if we will be like Job and monitor our words and be cautious not to speak words that are opposed to God's word, here's what happens. If I can't, you know, your parents always say, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Well, you know, there's a benefit in that for us, not just for the other person, but for us as well. Because if I have nothing to say that's going to line up with the word of God, if I have nothing good to say, good in that it speaks the truth of God, then say nothing at all. Because if I say words that are contrary to the word of God, just like Job's friends, as I utter and speak those words, Even the mere act of speaking those words carries a power that leads me, by words that are opposed to God, it leads me into that deception of the very words I'm speaking. And those words lead me into a deeper deception and a deeper deceit and a deeper blindness. And then I wind up, just like Job's friends, speaking worse and worse things farther and farther away from God. And as Job said, be cautious, because there is a price to pay from those words. If I don't speak words, be cautious of your words. Because if I speak words that are opposed to God's word, those words will serve to blind me and take me deeper into deception. Job said he would never speak words. He would be careful and never allow words to be uttered from his tongue or from his mouth that were against God. And we see in the end that Job walks in the victory of God. He gets all back and he understands. Great lessons from the book of Job.